my body flipped over. I wasn't able to get out of it. Wave-like mermaid movements, like doing the worm.
Quote unquote, Kundalini awakenings.
It felt like something was moving my body that way and I wasn't controlling it.
Let's make this more talked about. Welcome to the Vital Veda Show. I am your host, Dylan Smith. I'm an Ayurvedic practitioner and holistic health educator who sees patients online and in person. And some of those patients, a minority of them, are undergoing radical, what we call Kundalini experiences. And Kundalini is a dormant energetic force within the human organism. Which has a potential to blossom into creative intelligence and even awaken supernatural capabilities. And this power within the human physiology, in its dormant state, it's dormant. It's in the pit of what we call kunda in the brain. But when it manifests, it can manifest in different ways. And in this series of podcast episodes, I'm exploring Kundalini manifest in a radical way. It blossoms in a way which can be very overwhelming. And so I started seeing this in my patients. They were labeled psychotic. They were told to go on pharmaceuticals for antidepressants, anticonvulsants, anti-anxiety, etc., etc. So I wanted to bring this more to the public to make it more normalized that people can go through spiritual experiences which look like they're mad or psychotic. So I've done a podcast episode on Kundalini, which you can check out and see as I introduce this topic of Kundalini in greater depth. And now I've started to interview other people about their personal experiences, about their unique experiences, what they did to help and move through it. And this is one of them today with Kim, who will introduce herself and who you'll learn about. If you enjoy this and you found it helpful, please share it. Share it with anyone and leave a review. And this is Kim's first time sharing this, so we would love you to leave a review, a comment, to talk about it. You can leave a comment or Instagram share and talk about what you felt. I am now 6 weeks post recording this episode with Kim, and I've got information that Kim is currently touring with a manager to help creatives like a variety of famous musicians enhance their creativity through her gifts. She's meeting one-on-one with these people and installing into them various frequencies and vibrations. So I'm just going to leave it like that for now, and you'll hear Kim's journey. And then at the end of this podcast episode, I'm going to talk more about where Kim is at right now and what she's doing, touring the world with a famous, well-known music manager who manages famous DJs like Skrillex. And she's that manager is taking Kim around the world to help creatives in different ways. So I'm going to share that at the end because this is 6 weeks after recording this episode. But for now, listen to what Kim's got to say.
It's the first time I've ever spoken about my experiences with Kundalini. It's been a wild ride and challenging, and I've kept it hidden because I found it only maybe useful for those who run into extreme difficulty that are seeking some knowledge and guidance through the experience. It's hard to talk about.
I really want to express my gratitude and my gratitude for me, but also on behalf of the listeners for coming onto the show, because it's, you know, Kim, you're not the first person who said that. Yes, with these Kundalini interviews, but even other subjects, whether it's fertility subject or people struggling with getting pregnant or whatever it is. So I want to just assure you, this is a safe space. I want to be casual. And yes, the intention is, just like you've shared before, is to help other people going through quote unquote Kundalini awakenings, if you want to call it that, and or just any transformational spiritual experience which can be overwhelming for certain people. And on the Vital Veda podcast, if this is the first time you're hearing about Kundalini on this show, we've started a small series of interviews with people who have had radical Kundalini experiences, as I call them. And the point of this and the intention of this is to others out there who are undergoing these experiences, which can be very overwhelming, is to make it more normalized, acceptable, and that there are other people out there doing it. There's resources that can do to help you get through it in the smoothest way possible. And we started with a Kundalini. I started a Kundalini episode just introducing the notion of this dormant energetic force, which is in human organisms, and it has the potential to blossom into this creative intelligence and ultimately even awaken supernatural capabilities. But that may happen through a bit of a roller coaster with certain people. So we're going to go into Kim's experience. Kim, will you just start with your background, just as a person? Because and with the intention of also, like, this happens to so many people of any walks of life. It doesn't even have to be involved in spirituality.
Oh, thank you, Dylan. Well, I'm a civil engineer and an architect, and so that's my role in the world professionally. And I live in Los Angeles. I have a dog. I'm married to my husband. We've known each other for 18 years. He also has a very scientific background as a physician. And I come from a gigantic family, like 50 cousins. Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm first generation Vietnamese American.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And when did your experiences of Kundalini start in your life?
I think there's been little hints of it all through my life, right? Because Kundalini is that very subtle energy that's inside of you. It's more subtle than chi, and it's moving in all of us. So basically, it's nature's energy moving through you. But it wasn't very dramatic until about 2 years, 3 months ago. because it was a very distinct moment. This happened right after a 3-day meditation retreat. It didn't happen to anyone else. And it was a day when I was feeling really great. Like, you feel really blissed out from doing a meditation retreat. It was a rounding retreat.
Yeah, and just for the listeners, this is a retreat which is basically industrial strength meditation. And it's a series of yoga asana, then pranayama, breathing, and then meditation. And you repeat that. And although it sounds pretty intense, industrial strength, it can be, but also it's not a very radical, it's not like it's radical kriya or pranayama or a lot of movement, which really can stir up Kundalini energy. It's actually quite it's a very de-excited technique, de-exciting technique, which really brings you to a hypometabolic state. So this is, Kim is now, we'll get to the story later, but she's now very heavily involved in this tradition of Vedic meditation as a teacher. But this, comparatively to other yoga Vedantic techniques, is actually very de-exciting and quite much less common to go through Kundalini experiences in this meditation technique compared to other yogic techniques, but definitely still common and happens.
Yes, it's very gentle technique, and I think that's why it caught me by surprise and the people around me. So I guess we know that when Kundalini moves through you, it's a very beautiful energy. It's very blissful and calm because it's nature. But as it's moving through, it also highlights for you what's out of balance. And so it's kind of moving through like a faucet of water, like a hose of water, and water's going up your spine. So it was moving, and somehow for me, it turned on full blast. And so as this bliss energy was moving through me, I also felt what was not blissful. And so the experiences are from that energy, highlighting the points of imbalance. And that's what makes the drama, which is, we also call it ama. So on the first day, my shoulder started twitching. So it was just kind of going like this.
Common experience with Kundalini awakenings, people twitching and movements.
Yeah, just like before you're falling asleep, your body may twitch a little bit. And then, so what you're thinking is just releasing some stress from the muscle. And I thought, well, I'll just do some Abhyanga or smell some lavender and take a bath. So since to maybe calm it down a bit more. And of course, I was in touch with other teachers. So I was in a supportive environment. Though this, So I got home. Turned on the bath. I got in the bathtub and just laid in there. And suddenly, my body started to do these wave-like mermaid movements, like doing the worm inside the bathtub. And then it started moving more and more violently. And then my body flipped over and I was on my stomach in the bathtub, submerged. Then my arms were stretching themselves backwards and my legs were stretching upwards. And it looked like I was in some kind of backbend. But I wasn't able to get out of it because it felt like something was moving my body that way and I wasn't controlling it. Then it quickly flipped me back over onto my back. And then I jumped out. And then I guess that was just the beginning.
All right. So after that, what did you think? What did you feel? How?
After that, I thought I must have imagined it. So I ignored it. And then I actually walked back to the bathtub and I got in to see if I had just imagined that it happened. And same thing happened, but all types of other movements and splashing of water. And I decided it's probably not safe to be in the bathtub.
So it started happening again when you returned?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting, that water element. Did you have any other water element experiences after that?
You mean like when I got in water?
Yeah.
It seems like whenever I was very relaxed, the movements got more violent, actually. Okay. So that was kind of surprising because I didn't know what to make of that. But after a while, I saw that because the body is in such a de-excited state, I think that encouraged more movement of energy to move through my body and try to expel any blockages that are there. But at the time, I didn't know it, so I was just trying to relax myself more. The next day, I found out when I was looking at this pen, actually. Architects love their pens. So I thought the more I was concentrating on the pen, the movement stopped. And my body throughout the day, after the bathtub experience, so it stopped. And then the movements continued 24/7. And so my body was shaking. I was having convulsions. So it was continuing to move and I couldn't stop it. And until I concentrated really hard on something. So it turns out that with focus, there seems to be some kind of control over it or being able to snap out of a different state of consciousness. So that was one key element. Then I started practicing this, started looking around the room to see at kind of dialing the level of concentration I was having versus relaxation. And that started to moderate the movements somehow.
It's very, very fascinating, interesting with the concentrating. So yeah, and then keep telling us like your story. Years go by or months go by.
I think this was in the first 2 weeks where I was freaking out my family.
And how long did those shakings, you said it was happening 24/7, the movements, the convulsions, the shaking, how long did that last?
If I weren't concentrating, they would have continued. We're now 2 years and 3 months out. I still have them occasionally. And that was happening in an uncontrollable way for about 2 weeks until I got very good at switching on and off.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still going, just so I learned how to turn it off when I was around people. And when I wasn't around, I allowed it to move, because it kind of felt like, you know, like a bottle of soda, and you shake it up, and there's like a lot of pressure, and it just wants to move. So the more I used this technique that I thought I discovered to stop the movements from happening, the more it felt like I would explode into various movements.
Did you find that if you were using the technique to suppress it? Because suppressing in Ayurveda is, it sounds like a bad thing. It's actually not. It's, you can also call it pacify it. So it's keeping it at bay. It's keeping it calm. But did you find if you did that for too long, when you finally opened that soda bottle, it would explode even more?
Yeah, sometimes it did. But it would go through periods where it would be more explosive or less explosive. It became, instead of, well, at first it was like trying to turn it off and on. And later it became more like a negotiation, and me speaking to my body and the energies, and starting to understand where it was trying to move and what it was trying to show me.
So was it just then, like, how did you turn it off? Was it just that conscious telling of the body, okay, I'm going to turn you off for a bit so I can enjoy my friends and not look weird?
Yes, eventually. It took many months before I got to that point. I would say it just took some practice, because sometimes it would feel like I preferred it to be a certain way, and then it would not agree with me, or that maybe I would be like, okay, now is the time, just get it all out the system so I can get back to my friends. But it didn't work that way either.
And then in the 2 weeks where it was very overwhelming, and all you had to do to suppress it is concentrate hard. I mean, like, how long can you concentrate hard on something? Like, was that a lot of strain and effort you had to, like?
Yes, it was a lot of strain. But I had a lot of willpower, so it was kind of a battle with me for a while. Well, during that time also, because I wasn't able to make it to look normal, I also consulted other doctors, got my brain scan, just to make sure that it wasn't anything else. And all scans and visits to different doctors came back normal. So at least I got to ease that part of my questions.
When, during the 2 weeks, how was your sleep?
I didn't sleep. Sometimes the movements would come through through the entire night, and until I was so exhausted, I would black out.
Yeah.
And
absolute common experience with Kundalini awakenings is this lack of sleep.
But what's really great about it, and also having a meditation practice, is being able to have my awareness there the whole time. So I wasn't freaked out. I just knew this is happening through my body, and I'm learning to be with it rather than argue with it. And it was just really training me to be with it no matter how crazy it got.
So like you have that anchor and awareness while going through this, and that you had it before it happened. You learned the technique. You knew this before. So you have this 2 weeks intense, you've kind of learning to live with it, learning to manage it better. Were there any other significant, really overwhelming experiences after that? Or was that 2 weeks the most powerful, or the most overwhelming?
No, I think it got more overwhelming after. Well, I would say the experiences got more intense, but I was less overwhelmed.
Wow.
So it was no longer surprising that my body could move. I would say that's the biggest hurdle, when you feel like your body is moving and you can't control it, and that you feel there's nothing you can do and it's not behaving to how you're dictating it. I think that's the biggest hurdle. Then the next one is the subtle worlds becoming more visible and sensing all of that, that can be very overwhelming. Subtle worlds, I'm talking about spirits, sounds, hearing, you know, how people can be empathetic with someone else, or someone's really, say they're angry or depressed sitting next to you, you can feel it. Well, with this, the sensation of that is more amplified. For me, as a kid, I've always seen spirits, like ghosts, kind of dark shadows, was prone to the sleep paralysis and vivid dreams. So those were common for me. But with this, I couldn't ignore any of those anymore. And other spectrums of subtle worlds became more visible. So yeah, I think before, how I dealt with subtle things was to kind of sweep it under the rug. And I kept, yeah, I kept putting it under the rug so I could move through my day. But with the Kundalini moving through, I couldn't ignore anything that I've ever put under the rug. It just became a giant elephant that I had to address. So when you see things that other people don't see, that's also a really big adjustment. So after 3 months of this, I started to stabilize, and I saw my life flash before my eyes, and it was a really beautiful thing I saw. I felt like I've accepted everything in my life. I saw the people I loved. I saw the people I was hurt by. It was like the like a reel, like highlights of Kim's life and seeing what I've done and haven't done. But it was like check mark, done, done, done. And even my bullies that I've experienced in the past, like I saw how beautiful they were and how they helped me grow. And I felt like, all right, I must be done with this Kundalini thing and I can move on. And that's when I went on to train as a meditation teacher. And that's, I guess I wanted to learn how to teach it because it helped me get through these rough moments and other rough moments in my life by stabilizing the beingness. So I was motivated to learn to teach meditation because of going through this.
Back to the part where your past and your life, this lifetime, flashed before you, and you could see everything, the people, the situations. This is also a thing that some people report. Can you talk more about that? What was the situation? Was it while you were sleeping? Was it just one day you had this hit of vision of your past life, or did it? How long did that last for?
It was for 2 days. I was getting flashes of it, and it was while I was one doing the dishes that I can remember. I was, maybe it's another state of being relaxed. And another moment just while petting my dog. So they were very normal moments. And I don't know how long it was in real life, but it felt like a long time of seeing everything in my life and the appreciation of it. So I felt it was either the end of some, it felt like as if I were dying, but in a beautiful way.
Was it everything in your life?
Yes, and I saw things that I didn't know happened in my life as well.
Wow.
It was very strange. And I saw things that were quite negative happened in my life that I wasn't aware of. And that was the most surprising thing to me. But while the vision was happening, I didn't feel any negative experiences, even when I saw it as a movie.
What's an example of some of those? Something that you didn't know that happened?
Trauma that I had hidden from myself unconsciously.
Wow.
And I was like, well, I guess I got to see it that way before it. I didn't even know it happened, or maybe I knew at some point, but forgotten.
Part of you knew. So amazing. It's interesting how you said it felt like you were dying, because this is a common experience that people report from near-death experiences, or people who are, those people who are into the afterlife knowledge and experiences, like experts on that. I've heard talk about how it's quite common knowledge that once your body drops, you will review your whole life. And this, well, I heard the other day a woman explain it like, it's kind of like seeing a whole mosaic of all the events in your life. It's not like one by one you go through them. You see it like all together, rather than focusing on each tile of the mosaic. It's just a whole thing. And you, it's like a, what do they call it? Past life review, or a review of this life kind of thing. So interesting that you had that without a near-death experience. But of course, it makes sense, because these realms that you are dipping in and out of is definitely shared with transitioning from death and birth. So then, yes, you started, you went on a 3 months initiated training to become a meditation teacher, where you are doing much more of the quote-unquote rounding, which is those series of yogasana, pranayama, meditation in very high amounts, a lot of meditation, a lot of knowledge. It's a 3 month intensive. How was that?
Intense. But what was cool about that is I had colleagues. I had friends that were also going through something intense and were aware of, you know, purifying our bodies and our minds and wanting to let go of things that prevent them and ourselves from seeing things as they are, right? So we all came there with at least that baseline of understanding. So a sense of camaraderie there, and that I could share a little bit of my experience. Well, at least I tried to keep it limited until my body started moving a lot again. So it was different from before I was in training, because in training, we're also clearing a lot more. And the movement started becoming up. So they were not as convulsy, and they're not as seizure looking. They started looking more graceful. Sometimes it looked like I was breakdancing. It looked like Tai Chi like movements, or some kind of beautiful dance. Mudras were coming out of my hands. And so sometimes it would look like a moment of beauty, and then other moments of uncontrolled seizuring on the ground. And I was thinking, this isn't something anyone else experienced there, but they were still able to support me by, well, one, they weren't freaked out. That really helped. And two, they would ask me things like, do you need an extra pillow, or do you need me to cover the ground so that you don't hit your arms on the walls or the tables? And so things like that really helped me get through those cycles of asanas. Oh, it's called a yogic kriya. I think you might know that. So it's just more sequential type movements that you'd see in a yoga book. Like, that started happening, starting there. So I went through periods of that, various all kinds of things, hearing voices, seeing dead people and flashing lights and electric balls. Okay, all of that. Then end of the training, I again felt like, okay, I must be done with this now. So this was in 2022.
Did you feel at the end of the training you had like kind of moved a step through this? Like, okay, this, you had these intense experiences through the training. You're at the end of this 3 month training. Anyhow, the the program is to ease you out of it slowly. Did you feel like, okay, I've kind of taken a step?
Yeah, so I've definitely taken really big leaps.
And also left, evolved from that intensity. It's like, okay, I've finished the training, now the intensity's calmed, or it's finished. At least that's part of it, that wave of it.
Yes, it felt like that for about 2 days. and it was great. And in those 2 days, it did feel like a lifetime, because I felt like, all right, all this is behind me and I can go teach people how to meditate, not look crazy. It was like a dream come true. I had a lot more knowledge and experience and all types of ups and downs. But then the week when I returned from teacher training, I found a dead body in my neighborhood. And I think that event, it brought on a lot more experiences and a new wave of different types of body movements came through, different types of experiences. Well, they weren't just visions about other worlds that I see inside of me. And, you know, they weren't just things I was viewing. It seemed to involve other people. And this is the next big step of it, is that it's just not about having the experience and moving through them, or, you know, the phenomena and kind of understanding the phenomena. It's how do all these relate to the world around me, and what do they tell me, and how do I act on them? So that experience with finding the body in my neighborhood, I sensed something was there before I turned a corner. It was in like a neighbor's yard. And when I saw the body, I knew that they weren't alive. And then I experienced the spirit of the body lingering around. And the experience is like it was following me home. And then during that experience, I went into a spontaneous ritual. And in that ritual, I helped this spirit cross over. And it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. And, well, at that point, it was still happening. You know, I'm the only one who sees it happen. But one of the things I noticed was that because I had noticed the body there, I was able to call for help for someone to remove it. But in that moment, I remember seeing two joggers come by, and they had told me they've seen the body there for several days ago, but they didn't know they had died, or they just kept moving. And then someone else also told me, oh, they saw that person there, but they didn't know they had died.
What was he lying? Was it someone lying on the front yard?
They were lying in the bench in the yard.
Okay, so they might have thought it was a homeless person sleeping or something.
Perhaps. But I would say, like, maybe in this experience, perhaps if I didn't sense or I wasn't as aware, maybe I would have walked by as well, and there wouldn't have been a certain type of closure.
So you would see other people possessed by different spirits?
Yeah, I don't think that's like the proper way to say it. but yes, but because, you know, from our understanding, it's also all is one, right? So it could be an aspect of them. But
exactly.
Also, I was seeing them at a particular level. It definitely looked like they were not in possession of themselves and their beingness. And there were different influences that were more highlighted in them. And so
it's interesting. It's like, is it a part of them which is expressing and kind of dominating the body, or is it another individual soul, which we can call Jivatma, like another expression of that whole thing. But of course, we're in different expressions in this world. Is it them, another expression, a complete other, which usually lives in another body, maybe, or not, maybe not a human body, maybe. And it's dominating, dominating that person.
So I got exposed to a variety of different possibilities of that.
Great.
And then being able to tell the difference after a while, like what that situation is. So maybe the pattern looks like first it's overwhelming exposure, like everything's on the plate. Then it starts having stratified layers. Then a more distinct understanding of where everything is on those layers. And then, you know, next phase is another situation where you see a whole lot of parts and then it starts to condense. So it was a number of those experiences for a while and seeing them in others and knowing when or when not to say something, when to act, when not to act. I think that's part of the growth process. And in these phases, I sought other teachers. I sought other people with varying capabilities for guidance on how they navigated the subtle fields and how to do things ethically in case I come across situations. Not that I wanted to allow all experiences to come through spontaneously, but some of them happen, I think when they happen repeatedly, it means there might be an action that we need to take. So that's when I sought mentorship from different healers and learned how to move through those experiences. So there was that. And so then they were singular experiences from me and one other person, one by one. Later, they became more group experiences. Then after that, they became group experiences in different locations. And that's more where I am now.
Okay, great. And thanks for sharing all those. Are there any other, I'm not going to ask that question. There are probably so many other things which happened, and I know there are because we had a chat a few weeks ago. I just want to now move to actions to take and resources for people to take who are going through similar things. What would you suggest?
One is if you can find a teacher or start to see that there are many potential teachers you can have, learning to meditate.
Just on the teacher thing, the word, everyone knows the word guru, but the word guru in Ayurveda, in Sanskrit, it means heavy. That's one of the words. And guru is like that stable anchor to ultimate reality and is particularly essential, and I love how you said that as the first thing, Kim. It's particularly essential when you are going through these very air and space element experiences. You're in the subtle realms, and guru means heavy. It's earth element. It's grounding. So that's the really important role of a guru. And you're not the first person who I've interviewed who has stressed the importance of speaking to someone. And guru doesn't mean they have to be your teacher or your the one you look up to. It's someone who can be a stable anchor for you with an open heart and an open mind and a loving heart. This is all energy of kapha dosha, earth element, that stable. You can bring all the stress to that person, but it doesn't touch them. They are so anchored in being that they can help metabolize it and help you anchor.
Yes, like until you have that anchor within yourself. And then even when you do, it's still very good to have many anchors in your life. Because we can have all these mystical type experiences, but they're actually to help us find various ways to come back, actually, to come back here to the present and engaged with other people and this reality, actually. So yes, we have many other realities, but this one's very important. I think that's what it has taught me from going to see the other realities. And Yeah, eventually you do see that everyone in every situation is the teacher.
Okay, and the second you said to meditate, and then we discussed about that, how it really helped perspective and you kind of detaching from the body going through this.
Yes. Oh, well, the feelings of detaching from the body and seeking assistance for reattaching to, not reattaching, but coming back to the body. So I think in a lot of spiritual practices, people are trying to learn how to get out of body because they're so stuck in just this one reality of physical or emotional or mental. But after you go so far out, you really want to be able to ground it all and learn how to come back and integrate all of it. And in that, it helps to have someone hold space for you to do it. So I would say besides having a teacher, because when you have a teacher, like you may know things, they may teach you things intellectually. They may also teach you with their presence. That's also very good. And to let you know the pathway, but having someone hold space for you. You can have a therapist, anyone who's very good at that, that can allow you to come back. Oh, I guess holding space means making it a safe space to land.
Okay, thanks so much, Kim. I think that's great. And yeah, if anyone needs support, do you offer any, you said you've shared it with other people who've helped. Of course, you teach Vedic meditation in LA. Do you also offer mentoring sessions? And
yes.
Wonderful. How can people find you? Yes, I offer mentoring.
I have a website. It's frogwi.com. F-R-O-G-W-I.
Okay,
and
great.
I offer mentoring and consultations and teaching Vedic meditation.
Good. Great. Okay. Anything else you want to mention? I know there's so much more that happened in...
Thinking that it is a really special thing that you have this curiosity to interview people with these experiences. And that you had told me that you didn't have the same, you know, type experiences. But your approach to them, I found it very supportive. And so I was thinking like for teachers and for anyone who I think this applies to both if you run into somebody with extreme Kundalini experiences or any experience in life at all that they experience in something that you don't understand and that you can't wrap your head around and that you will probably never experience in your life, you can always still be supportive. And you can always still know what it's like to feel alone and need support. So I think just because you haven't experienced these things doesn't mean you can't support somebody who is going through them. And just having curiosity, ask them how they are, offer them food. I don't know. it's all the same, really. There's just various types of experiences, but just being open, I think that's a beautiful thing.
So beautiful. I'm getting like emotional by you saying that, and so important, relevant for probably most of the people hearing this is going to play that role and has an opportunity to play that role. And I think, you know, let's make this more talked about for one. Let's talk about it more because a bunch of people listening have never heard someone tell their story or share experiences. Usually it's only to share to a practitioner or to a meditate or to a guru or to a teacher. So I think if hopefully whether you're just a friend or you are a physician or a practitioner or someone or a psychologist, whatever, or just as I said, a friend or a colleague, you can have, as Kim said, the open heart and the genuine curiosity in the name of a desire for that person to become more peaceful and move through this in the most harmonious way. And you don't need to know about it. You don't need to know solutions. Just have that intention of, okay, you're going through something intense. I don't know how intense it is. I really do not know how intense it is. I don't have anything I can relate to, but you are unique and I am unique. And what I can do is just be open for this, just my open heart, just my intention of, okay, my presence can offer so much support and healing and love.
Yeah, you never know how far that really goes.
Okay, Kim, thank you so much.
Thank you too. This is me and Kim
meeting for the first time, but we've spoken once before. But yeah, it's a very special thing. It's something new on this podcast where we don't care about your bio. We don't care like what about you. We just want to take every people from all walks of life and share. And it's really back to that aspect of everyone is unique and everyone is important and has something, an aspect to share and contribute. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you, Dylan.
Thank you for listening. If you want to hear the first episode, which we started on Kundalini, what actually is Kundalini, the bioenergetic force? See episode number 126 of the Vital Veda podcast. And episode 129 is an interview with Marcus Hamill, who talks about his Kundalini experience. That was different. It was a 1.5 month, very strong trip, and it kind of started and finished and basically finito for now. That is a phenomenal episode, very special. And if you enjoy these episodes, check out everything we've got on the Vital Veda podcast, health, consciousness, spirituality, the Veda, which are the laws of nature. If you'd like to book in for an Ayurvedic consultation with me to help you go through whatever you're going through, whether it is overwhelming spiritual transformative experiences, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, you can go to vitalveda.com.au/bookings. When I work with patients, my intention and what I do is make you self-sufficient in taking care of your own health, in creating balance and navigating the inevitable fluctuations and influences that come into your health throughout lives. And yes, we check in here and there, maybe two or three follow-up consultations in the beginning, but ultimately it's to make you self-sufficient. So you can go to vitalveda.com.au/bookings. I would genuinely love to work with you and help optimize your health through giving you a holistic health plan. Okay, thanks for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the Vital Veda podcast. It's important. It helps us get better guests and make this show give more energy than we're already giving it. Hey, I want to give you an update to where Kim is at right now. I'm recording this now 6 weeks after I recorded the episode with Kim, and she's had a rapid realization of some capabilities that she has to offer. Kim right now is currently on tour in Europe across music conferences, helping musicians to enhance their creativity through certain techniques and certain meetings with them, mostly in silence. So let me explain. She is touring and she has a manager who is the manager of Skrillex, who is a famous DJ. This manager used to manage Skrillex, and now this manager, Blaise D'Angelo, is managing Kim and getting her to meet all these musicians. And I don't know the details, but they sit in a room together and she does some stuff. And one musician said that he went home and recorded 70 tracks. Other musicians have said, I've never had this creativity in a very long time. She's sitting with them and something along the lines of things that are in silence. And so in silence and installing certain energetic frequencies through different ways. She does a bit of sounds that she's cognized that just come through her mouth. So she's just getting into this. And I said, Kim, can I share this with the people? She's like, yeah, sure, but I don't fully understand what's happening yet. So she's cultivating these capabilities and these gifts and sharing them. And she's going to be also in Australia in October touring and going to a festival called Hero Festival, which might not be released by the time you hear this podcast episode, but there is a website for Hero in Nowra. And that's a festival based on Vedic knowledge and Vedic wisdom and Vedic sciences and practices. So check out Hero Festival in Nowra in October 2024. Going to be a very special festival. I'm going to be there. talking about Ayurveda. My wife's going to be there talking about postpartum Ayurveda, women's health, and there's going to be a lot of good stuff. So check that out. And yep, if you want to learn more about Kim, check her out. Much love.